Good evening, it's 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Tennessee Valley News Hour on 89.3 HD3 News Talk. This community program is produced by the WLRH Volunteer Radio Reading Service. I'm Basha Murata with Teresa Zimmerman.
Over the next hour, we'll share news from our community and from around the world. You can also follow along on the WLRH Radio Reading Service Facebook page.
Coming up in our first hour, we'll have a story about cool things to do in Huntsville.
Later this hour, you'll hear about graduation advice and a possible job opportunity. We'll also have today's Writer's Almanac and Stardate.
Stay tuned. NPR News headlines and your Tennessee Valley News update are next. This is the Tennessee Valley News Hour on 89.3 HD3 News Talk. I'm Basha Murata with Teresa Zimmerman. The Writer's Almanac is coming up at the end of our first segment.
So Basha, now that the weather's been really nice, you know, it's been nice and dry, there seems to be, you know, a lot of time for outdoor activities and fun stuff to do.
Yes.
And, you know, I was kind of trying to look online and see if there was anything coming up. I did find an article by Bob Gaffney, and it's entitled Cool Things to Do in Huntsville, May 14th through 20th. So I think this might be it.
Yeah.
Now, it's finally here, the successor to nonprofit development organization Downtown Huntsville, Inc.'s popular street food gathering mega events is a Less is More remix, the Battle of the Food Truck All-Stars. The 13 competing vendors selected through rigorous selection processes include Back Alley Traveling Bistro, Bad's News Barbecue, Beast Mode, Earth and Stone Wood-Fired Pizza, Fire and Spice, Grumpy's, I Love Bacon Food Truck, Manic Organic Food Truck, Pearl Asian Cuisine, Roland Lobster, Sutherland Snow Depot, Tim's Cajun Kitchen, and Washington Square Catering. This will be the first of 12 battles, and after each event, you can vote in an online Facebook poll for your favorite. The Battle of the Food Truck All-Stars kicks off 5 to 9 p.m. on May 19th at the Church Street by Big Spring Park downtown. So that sounds really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't love food?
I mean, we all need food to eat. So it's in rolling form down the street to get food, I think, is one of the best ways to get it.
Absolutely. Well, the food comes to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. So, yeah, of course, you know, those food truck gatherings that we have are pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So if you have time to go do that, man, go get something good to eat.
Yeah.
Now, also, there is Stories Under the Stars. Their stories are required to be true and fit into the theme of Blast from the Past. Bird on the Mountain's live storytelling series, Stories Under the Stars, returns with stories from 8 community members: William Hampton, Jessica Temple, Tony Ricks, Cindy Small, Rachel Lackey, David Little, and Elijah Bean. Attendees can sign up for a wild card spot to share one of their own stories. With all the listening and talking, folks are bound to develop an appetite, so Manic Organic Food Truck will be on site. And that's 6 to 8 p.m. May 18th at Burt on the Mountain. Wow, so that sounds great. And look, you can get more food.
Yeah, another food truck's going to be there.
No, that sounds great. I actually didn't realize that they did that. They tell stories.
Yeah,
so.
That's awesome.
Man, Huntsville has a lot of really great stuff.
Uh-huh.
They also have actually a Pintwood Derby. Mm-hmm. So now this is an adult-only version of the classic kid Pinewood Derby. Did you have a sibling in Boy Scouts? Or
No, I did not.
My brother, he was.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and they used to build, you know, these derby cars and race them.
Hmm.
So this is like an adult version of that. And the article says here that prizes will be awarded for speed and creative design. Pick up your car kits at the Straight to Ale Tap Room. Official kits are required to participate in the race, and participants must be 21 or older. A portion of proceeds raised from the sale of kits goes to support Alabama Longhouse of the Native Sons and Daughters, a nonprofit organization encouraging father-child bonds through various activities, including camping, hiking, and yes, Pinewood Derby racing. And now that's May 20th from 5 to 8 at Straight to Ale on Clinton. So, wow, I never even thought about doing that as an adult.
Yeah.
You know, my brother had a lot of fun in Boy Scouts. I remember that was one of his favorite parts. So I guess maybe probably some grown-up Boy Scouts came up with that activity.
Trying to relive their childhood.
Yeah, exactly. Now, another thing in the article here is the concerts on the dock. And, of course, that's at Low Mill. And that's something I absolutely love.
Yes.
I love our concerts on the dock.
I've been to that a few times. I love them.
Well, you know, and May 19th from 6 to 9, there's a band going to be there called Arts Fishing Club. And it's a young Nashville band with a blues folk meet indie rock sound. And they perform at Low Mill's Outdoor Live Music Series. So, yeah, absolutely. So that's May 19th. So concerts on the dock are every Friday once you know, spring kicks in, once summer starts to get here. So, yeah, so they're running every Friday. So if you can't make it this time, it might be next time.
Next one. Well, why don't we listen to a song now from the band that'll be there this Friday? This is Arts Fishing Club singing Devil on My Shoulder. If you liked that last song we just played, make sure you go out to Concerts on the Dock this Friday. That band will be playing there at Low Mill.
Yeah, they're so amazing.
I really liked that song.
Next here on the list is to discover the dinosaurs. Now, you had us at Life-Size Dinosaurs. The Discover the Dinosaurs walkthrough exhibit features encounters with simulated Stegosaurus, Velociraptor, and Tyrannosaurus Rex. And that's May 20th and 21st at the Von Braun Center South Hall. And that's 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. So that is all day. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
My nieces probably would really love that. They love dinosaurs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So speaking of dinosaurs, I found this article from Smithsonian Magazine, and it's by Jason Daly. It's called Spectacularly Detailed Armored Dinosaur Mummy Makes Its Debut. In 2011, a heavy equipment operator at the Millennium Mine in northern Alberta started digging up old colored rock. He stopped to take a closer look, puzzling over the material, which was speckled with strange patterns. His supervisor quickly realized that they had something special. Michael Geshko reports for National Geographic. The operator had just extracted a bit of fossil skin from an armored Nodosaurus. But this wasn't just any fossil. It was one of the best-preserved Nodosaurus specimens ever found. The fossil remains are incredibly lifelike, resembling a sleeping dragon, according to National Geographic, which sponsored the 5-year, 7,000-hour preparation of this fossil. It's likely that the 3,000-pound, 18-foot-long creature died in or near a river. Then its bloated carcass floated out of the sea before sinking back first into the muck where fossilization began. It's basically a dinosaur mummy. It really is exceptional. Don Brinkman, director of preservation and research at the Royal Tyrrell Museum Fossil is House, tells Craig Smith at the New York Times. The remarkable preservation of its armored plates, as well as some preserved scales, are helping paleontologists finally understand the size and shape of the creature's keratin defenses. I've been calling this one the Rosetta Stone for armor, Donald Henderson, curator of the dinosaurs at Tyrrell Museum, tells Greshko. As Matt Ryben at CNN reports, the dino is 110 million years old, making it the oldest ever found in Alberta. It also represents a new genus, species of Nodosaur. But the most exciting aspect may be the microscopic level, Greshko reports. The researchers have detected minuscule bits of red pigment, which could help them reconstruct the dinosaur's coloration, a feature that may have helped it attract males. This armor was clearly providing protection, but those elaborated horns on the front of its body would have been almost like a billboard. Jacob Vinther, an animal coloration expert from the University of Bristol, tells Greshko. The new specimen isn't the only exceptional ankylosaur specimen recently unveiled. Just last week, Brian Switek at Smithsonian.com reported that the Royal Ontario Museum discovered a new species in Montana, which they nickname Zool. The specimen also has some intact armor plates and skin, as well as a tail club. Switek explains that during decomposition, the armor plates of ankylosaurs typically fall off and are often washed away or not found. But the discovery of these two extraordinary samples will go a long way towards helping researchers figure just what these animals looked like and how they used their formidable horns and armor. The Nodosaurus is now on display at the Royal Tyrrell Museum in Drumheller, Alberta, as part of an exhibit highlighting the importance of cooperation between extraction industries and paleontologists in uncovering fossils.
Basha, that's absolutely fascinating. I think my nieces would really love to see that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm Teresa Zimmerman with Basha Murata. This is 89.3 HD3 News Talk. Still to come on today's Tennessee Valley News Hour, stories about graduation advice and Stardate.
This is the Tennessee Valley News Hour, produced by WLRH's Volunteer Radio Reading Service. I'm Basha Murata with Teresa Zimmerman.
Yes, well, Basha, I hear that there's a special event coming up in your life soon.
Yeah, I think most seniors in high school have this coming up in the next few weeks, but I will be graduating high school next week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very excited to get out of here.
To move on to the next stage.
Yes, very excited for that. Well, I have this article, and it is titled The 17 Best Pieces of Advice from Flawless Graduation Speeches. So I think this would be a great thing for all people graduating high school or graduating college, graduating anything.
Yeah.
So, and this is by Brandon Spector. So this first quote is from Steve Jobs at Stanford University in 2005. You can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something, your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever. This approach has never let me down, and this has made all the difference in my life. And then this next one is from Ellen DeGeneres, and it's for Tulane University in 2009. The definition of success changes. Success to live your life with integrity and not give in to peer pressure to be something you're not. Follow your passion. Stay true to yourself. Never follow someone else's path. Unless you're in the woods and you're lost and you see a path, then by all means you should follow that. This quote is from Denzel Washington in 2011. I found that nothing in life is worthwhile unless you take risk. Fall forward. Every failed experiment is one step closer to success. You've got to take risk. You will fall at some point in your life. Accept it. You will lose. You will embarrass yourself. You will suck at something. There is no doubt about it. Never be discouraged. Never look back. Give everything you've got, and when you fall throughout life, fall forward. This next one is from Shonda Rhimes to Dartmouth University in 2014. You want to be a writer? A writer is someone who writes every day, so start writing. You don't have a job? Get one. Any job. Don't sit at home waiting for the magical opportunity. Who are you, Prince William? No. Get a job, go to work, do something until you can do something else. This next one is from George Saunders at Syracuse University in 2013. Do those things that incline you toward the big questions and avoid the things that would reduce you and make you trivial. That luminous part of you that exists beyond personality, your soul, if you will, is as bright and shining as anything that has ever been. This next one is from J.K. Rowling for the Harvard University commencement speech in 2008. Failure meant a stripping away of the inessential. I stopped pretending to myself that I was anything other than what I was and began to direct all my energy into finishing the only work that mattered to me. Had I really succeeded at anything else, I might never have found the determination to succeed in one arena I believed I truly belonged. I was set free because my greatest fear had been realized, and I was still alive. And I still had a daughter whom I adored, and I had an old typewriter and a big idea. And so rock bottom became the solid foundation on which I rebuilt my life. So this last one that I'm going to read is from John Bon Jovi. It says, "Nothing is as important as passion. No matter what you want to do with your life, be passionate. The world doesn't need any more gray. On the other hand, we can't get enough color. Mediocrity is nobody's goal, and perfection shouldn't be either. We'll never be perfect. But remember these three P's. Passion plus persistence equals possibility." So if you wanted to see some of the other quotes that were in this article, you can go to the WLRH Radio Reading Service Facebook page, and you can read some of that. So, yeah.
Oh, wow, Basha, those were actually really inspiring.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're not graduating.
Just needed a inspirational quote.
Just, you know, kind of showing you how to move along in the world, mm-hmm. and everybody needs to know how to do that. And speaking of moving along, one of the ways that you might want to move along after you graduate is to try and find a job. Mm-hmm. unfortunately, sometimes that's the first thing you have to do once you graduate. I do have an article here, though, entitled Birmingham Startup Your Carrier Expanding to Huntsville Hiring Workers. Now, this was on AL.com, and it's by Lucy Berry. And she writes here, Carter Adams has had a love for entrepreneurship since he was a kid, selling lemonade and later day trading on the stock market in high school. Business only grew as he got older and began selling items on Craigslist. Adams, a 25-year-old Birmingham native and graduate of the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa, comes from a long line of entrepreneurs. It runs in my family's blood, he says. We've just got that drive. It wasn't a surprise when Adams, who was doing marketing and sales for restaurateur John Casimus, decided to leave his day job last year and focus exclusively on his startup, Your Carrier, an on-demand moving service he calls the Uber of Moving. Your carrier specializes in jobs as small as unloading groceries or rearranging furniture to as large as moving entire houses or offices. Buy a new sofa but don't have a vehicle to bring it home? They handle that too, at what Adam says is a fraction of the cost of traditional moving services. The company doesn't have an app like Uber, but it does offer a mobile-friendly website where customers can fill out a quick form and select the service they want. It can take anywhere from 30 seconds to 10 minutes to hear back, Adam says. Within the next 2 months, your carrier will launch in Huntsville, the fastest-growing city in Alabama. It's a natural transition for your carrier, which is already eyeing other markets throughout the state. From there, I'll have to decide whether to keep it corporate and take it all on my own nationwide or franchise, he said. In the Birmingham market, Adams employs 45 carriers, or movers, all of whom are college students. He said the job is especially appealing to young people because they can work when they want and select the number of hours that best fit with their schedule. Adam needs about 20 carriers for his Huntsville team, which he is actively recruiting in preparation for a mid-July launch. The job averages about $20 an hour and offers same-day pay. Carriers must be 18 or older, able to lift at least 100 pounds, and have a smartphone and vehicle to be considered for the role. Adams told AL.com last month, they don't just hire anybody. It's all well-rounded, gentlemanly, yes ma'am, no ma'am kind of guys, he says. I like our customers to think of us as a son, a grandson, etc. Well, that is actually sounds like a really wonderful company, possibly mm-hmm. a good place to get a job.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still want to just celebrate the fact that you're graduating. And do you guys have a graduation song for your class?
Not that I know of. No. I might be a little out of the loop. I'm not aware of that.
Well, back in the day, we had graduation songs every year that the class came up with. And ours was actually Good Riddance by Green Day. So I did want to play this for you, play you a little graduation song. We're going to do a cover of it by Jake Coco. So once again, this is Good Riddance by Green Day, covered by Jake Coco.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. Take the photographs and still frames in your mind, and hang them on a shelf, good health and good time. Tattoos and memories, dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. Something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. But in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
And this is an article by Courtney Crown on WHNTnews.com. The title is Son Killed by a Drunk Driver Gives a Madison Mother a Mission to Save Others' Lives. Madison, Alabama. Mothers would do anything for their children, but planting something in their memory on Mother's Day weekend hardly seems right. He loved Bob Jones football, and I wanted to do something in the memory of Des, Bob Jones football, because that was his heart. Amy Dennis, Desmond Dennis's mother, said, to a crowd of people attending the first Des Dennis Memorial 9K. Dennis remembers October 25th, 2013, like it was yesterday. It's not only his life that was affected, Dennis said. It was our lives that were affected by carelessness. It took the wind out of us. October 25th, 2013 is the day a drunk driver killed her son on Martin Road. You young guys that love Des so much, just remember what killed him, Dennis said to the crowd. It was drinking and driving. She remembers why she's walking this challenging journey, even on her worst days. It took me 3 years to get up and get this going because it took me 3 years to get up out of the bed. Despite the heartache, Dennis finds her way to move her son's mission, like planning Saturday's race at Bob Jones High School. I never want to forget who Des was and where he came from, and it's been hard, Dennis said. Dozens of people came together for the love of one man, while a mother, committed to saving others, challenged them to make smart decisions. I did it, and I'm going to continue doing this because I'm going to keep Des alive, Dennis said about picking herself up and carrying on. I'm his voice. The money raised at the race benefits the Bob Jones High School football team. Des proudly wore the number 9 jersey on the field, which is the reason for the 9K race. Dennis hopes it gets bigger each year.
You're listening to the Tennessee Valley News Hour on 89.3 HD3 News Talk. Still to come, we'll hear about veggies and the Zika virus. We'll be back after Stardate.
Tennessee Valley News Hour on 89.3 HD3 News Talk. I'm Teresa Zimmerman with Basha Murata.
So this next article I have, it's from Popular Science, and it's by Kendra Pierre-Louis, and it's titled, Americans Keep Buying Veggies and Then Throwing Them Away. Struggling to get more vitamins? You might try checking your garbage can. A new study in the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics indicates that America's massive, ever-growing piles of wasted food are full of some of the most nutritious foods. Other researchers had already tracked the amount of foods that wasted in terms of how much it weighs, the economic value and how much calories were in it, says lead author Marie Spiker, a doctoral student in the Department of Internal Health at Johns Hopkins University. Our primary motivation was to go beyond calories and look into other nutrients to really show the magnitude of the food that we waste. Those earlier studies found that of the million tons of food that the U.S. produces each year, between 31 and 40% is wasted, more than any country in the world. This works out to about 1,200 calories per person per day, enough to feed your average 6-year-old. From a volume perspective, roughly half of those calories are wasted before they even reach our kitchens, and the other half got thrown out once you've already paid for them. Yet, despite our alimentary abundance, a 2014 study found that we still struggle to get enough nutrients. Only 4.7 of adults consume the daily recommended amount of potassium, for example, while only 11.3% of adults consume the daily recommended amount of fiber. Even in this environment abundance, there is still nutrients that we're not consuming enough of on average. So we're particularly interested in looking for these nutrients that we're not getting enough of and seeing how much is actually ending up in the landfill. The answer, as it turns out, is a lot. Take fiber, for example. The recommended intake for your typical 19 to 30-year-old American woman is 25 grams per day. On average, she consumes 16.1 grams per day, about a third less than the fiber intake requires to, among the things, keep bowels running smoothly. In men, you can bump that recommended consumption up to 38 grams, an actual consumption average at about 20, just over half of what the body actually needs. According to Spiker's study, Americans throw out enough food for each day to bridge the dietary fiber gap for 206 million women.
Spiker uncovered these results using two United States Department of Agricultural data sources. The first, called the Loss-Adjusted Food Availability, LAFA, tracks the waste levels of 213 commodity foods at retail and consumer level in terms of pound person per year. The second data source is called the National Nutrient Database, and it details a given food's nutritional content, how much calcium is in a cup of kale, how much vitamin C in an apple, and so on. Spiker and her colleagues linked the two together, uncovering the amount of 27 different nutrients packed into the 213 types of food that are wasted each day. Spiker's work takes the existing research a step further to look at what type of foods and what nutrients are most frequently wasted, and by whom. She found that while retailers and consumers waste an equal amount of calories, consumers waste far more nutrients. We're not throwing out snack cakes, but we're throwing out spinach. It's known that we do not waste more of perishable foods, says Spiker. If we think about what the perishable foods are, they're vegetables, they're fruits, they're dairy products, they're meat. When they are sitting in our kitchens, if we don't use them, they're the ones that tend to spoil faster than processed and packaged foods. So these foods that are perishable are also the ones that are really rich in nutrients. When we're looking at fruits and vegetables, we see color. Those colors are actually a signal that these are foods that are rich in vitamins and minerals. Wasted food is a growing concern, not just because it's just wasteful, but also because it hurts the environment. It takes a ton of resources, from land to use fertilizer to get food to our table. Having to make more than we actually buy and consume means using more energy. And when food ends up in landfills, it releases methane, which is a potent greenhouse gas and contributor to climate change. And not all food is indefinitely available. Throwing out 40% of seafood that comes to the U.S. doesn't just make it harder to get our omega-3 vitamins, it also means that we're going to run out of fish faster. It's hardly a surprise that in September of 2015, the United States Department of Agriculture announced the first ever domestic goal to reduce food loss and waste by half by the year 2030. But you don't have to wait for policy to kick in to do your part. We can all be part of a solution by simply eating the food we pay for.
Well, that's really interesting. You know, I probably do throw out a ton of veggies and fruit.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I do as well. But I guess we should all try and eat the veggies and fruit and, you know, not waste them.
Right. Well, you know, of course, hunger is a problem all across the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if they kind of figure out some way for us to combat that by mm-hmm. wasting less food, that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but being worried about your health is always a good thing. I actually have an article today about the Zika virus. So speaking about health, this was on WHNT, and it was by Chelsea Brentzel. Zika virus is still a concern. Here's what you need to know to be prepared. In Madison County, Alabama, this time last year, the Zika virus was a major concern in the United States. The Madison County Health Department says it's still a concern as the Asian tiger mosquito that can carry the virus is common in North Alabama. Our biggest concern is for the pregnant women, of course. You can get it from the bite of an infected mosquito, but it can also be sexually transmitted as well. So that is also something to consider. Cheryl Clay with the Madison County Health Department said that almost 1,800 pregnant women in the United States have been diagnosed with Zika since 2016. The recent study I saw, more than 50 children in the U.S. did have birth defects because of the Zika virus, said Clay. But it's not just pregnant women who are at risk. The only local transmissions in the United States have been in Miami, Florida, and Brownsville, Texas. We have not had local transmission here in Alabama, but we still have people traveling to other areas that have Zika virus transmission going on, says Clay. If someone is bitten by a mosquito with Zika virus and comes back home, they may spread it here without knowing. If they don't avoid mosquito bites for 3 weeks, even if they have no symptoms, they can spread it to our local mosquito population, explained Clay. Clay doesn't want to worry people, but does say people should be cautious. She recommends using a good repellent while outside and encourages you to clean up your property. All it takes for mosquitoes to breed is just a teaspoon of water. The health department begins mosquito fogging on May 17th, and they plan to fog Madison County until October. If you live in a state or area with the mosquito that spreads the Zika virus and are concerned about Zika, the Centers for Disease Control encourages you to build your own Zika prevention kit with the items below. reducing the risk for Zika is particularly important for pregnant women. The kit should include a bed net used to cover your sleeping area. Keep mosquitoes out of your room day and night. If your room is not well screened, use a bed net when sleeping or resting. Mosquitoes can live indoors and will bite at any time, day or night. Standing water treatment tabs. Use water treatment tabs to kill larvae in standing water around your house. Do not put them in water you drink. Always follow directions on the package. When used as directed, these tabs will not harm you or your pets. Insect repellent. Insect repellent will help keep mosquitoes from biting you. Always follow directions on the package. Use only an EPA-registered insect repellent. Do not spray repellent on the skin under clothing. If you are also using sunscreen, apply sunscreen first and insect repellent second. When used as directed, these insect repellents are proven safe and effective even for pregnant and breastfeeding women. Permethrin spray. Spray your clothing and gear with permethrin to help protect yourself from mosquito bites. Always follow the directions on the bottle. Reapply as directed. Do not spray permethrin on your skin. And also condoms. During sex, it's possible to get Zika from a person who also has Zika. Follow directions on the box and use properly every time. Now, Basha, I actually had to look up the meaning for permethrin spray because I've actually never heard of that before.
Oh, I haven't either.
Well, according to Google, permethrin is an insecticide in the pyrethroid family. Pyrethroids are synthetic chemicals that act like natural extracts from the chrysanthemum flower. Permethrin is used in a number of ways to control insects. Products containing permethrin may be used in public health mosquito control programs. All right, so that's probably part of the ingredients of what they might spray to get rid of these mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah.
I did not realize that.
So now let's listen to a song by Randy Kaplan, and it's called The Mosquito Song.
I was playing in my backyard and I looked up into the air. I saw a mosquito hovering around my head and he said,
I like the smell of your hair.
Then he landed right next to me and he alighted on my arm. I said, hello, Mr. Mosquito. I hope you don't mean to do me any harm.
He said, no, I'm not gonna do any harm. I'm just gonna suck your blood. Now hold still, it shouldn't even really hurt.
I said, what? Am I gonna give you any of my blood? No way, Jose. And I flicked him in the dirt. Oh, he must have flown out of the dirt when I was sliding down the slide. 'Cause when I got to the bottom, he was right there waiting. He said,
you can play, but you can't hide.
Then he flew onto my back. I couldn't see him back there. I was trying to see him. I was twirling around and around. And then I saw him. He's right there on my shoulder. And I said, hey, Mr. Mosquito, get down. He said,
oh, you want me to get down? Okay.
He started dancing. He boogied on back to my back. He did the tango through my neck and did the hustle on my head. He said,
now I'm gonna bite you, Jack.
I said, my name's not Jack, it's Randy. And I'm not gonna give you one little drop of my blood.
He said, oh, that's what you think, I'm gonna bite you right now.
But I flicked him in the mud. Flick a flick a flick a flick a flick a flick a flick. Flick that mosquito in the mud. Flick a flick a flick a flick a flick a flick a flick. Don't let him suck your blood. Later on, I was playing in the sandbox. I had a shovel and I had three pails. I was building a great big building, but it wasn't a sandcastle. 'Twas a mosquito jail. I said, Mr. Mosquito, wherever you are, you know you cause me so much heartache, stress, sorrow, and strife. Next time I see you, I'm gonna capture you. I'm gonna throw you in this jail for life. Then I heard kind of like a, it was a mixture of a, kind of like a flapping and a buzzing sound. I looked to my left and I looked to my right. No one was around. It was like this. But it wasn't even that loud. It sounded like it was coming pretty far away, like maybe in his hideout. I figured maybe he's hiding out in the clouds. And I was right, because when I looked up, he came swooping on down through the sky. Looked like he's heading right for my head. Looked like he's gonna land right on my right eye. Well, I put out my arm to block him, but he landed on my hand. He said, now I've had it, I'm really gonna bite ya. But before he could do it, I flicked him in the sand, right into the jail. Flick a flick a flick a flick a flick a flick a flick. Flick that mosquito in the mum-mum-mum-mum. Flick a flick a flick a flick a flick a flick a flick. Don't let him suck your blood. Flick a 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 flick. Flick that mosquito in the mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum-mum- your blood.
Thanks for tuning in to the Tennessee Valley News Hour, produced by the WLRH Radio Reading Services. Join us every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evening at 7. Find more information about the stories you heard tonight on the WLRH Radio Reading Service Facebook page. This is 89.3 HD3 News Talk Huntsville, member-supported public radio for the Tennessee Valley.